Amen. How we doing? All right, three of you are doing okay. How we doing? All right, I'm glad to be with you here tonight. Thank you, Pastor Tyler Keene. I met your pastor, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago now, doing some state business, and was very impressed with what a wonderful minister and a wonderful heart for the Lord he has. And I appreciate this invite. I know the hand of the Lord is on you and on your family. And I can sense the presence of the Lord in this house. And I know that the good hand of God is with you. And I appreciate you allowing me to be here with you tonight. Can we let the Lord know how thankful we are for the minister that he has allowed to be in this house? And I know that I'm the third guy in. You had Pastor Ryan Bristow Sunday morning and Sunday night. And what a powerful word he brought, and souls were saved. And then Pastor Greg Strickland last night, and souls are saved. One of us is in trouble preaching about Thomas. What a great word. And now you just got old Doug from over in Gadsden. But I'm glad to be here with you tonight. I do believe in my heart that God has given me a word to share with us. I didn't come over here tonight because I don't have anything else to do. I came over here because I believe that God has given me a word to share with us for such a time as this. There's a scripture that it's a story that we find in Numbers, the book of Numbers. It's in the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th verses of the book of Numbers. Many of us know this story because it's about a prophet, so-called, by the name of Balaam. We all know the story about Balaam. Most of us know what about the story of Balaam? His donkey talked to him. And the donkey said, "Man, why are you hitting me? Have I not been a good donkey all these years?" I'm talking about Shrek's got nothing on the Word of God. And so we have this story about this prophet by the name of Balaam, and God gets the glory out of this story. Now, why is it that this, if I hit this thing tonight, I want you to know I don't mean anything by it. I just walk around. It may happen. Everybody relax. If I fall down, I'm in pretty good shape. I'll jump right back up. If I break something, I will gristle through it, and I will finish preaching. Amen. Amen. But the reality of this story that speaks so much to us, the children of Israel were on a pilgrimage, and they were going somewhere. If you're a born-again child of God, you're on a pilgrimage, and you're going somewhere. You see, I look at the world around me right now, and I see so many things that are happening, and I see prophecy literally fulfilled, and I see that Jesus Christ is about to return and take his church to be home with him forever. And in the midst of a great meeting like we're having, and in the midst of wonderful singing like we've had, and we declare no matter what happens, he's still on his throne. You see, even in meetings like this, somebody's been here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, plan to be here tomorrow night. You see, I realize that even in an atmosphere like this, there are some people that are sitting here thinking, will I ever have another season of winning? Will there ever be another time in my life that I feel like I can expect blessing and I can expect the goodness of God? Our brother shared just a moment ago that you need to keep your eyes open in dark seasons. Friends, I'm here to talk to you. The title of the sermon tonight is Eyes Wide Open, because I believe tonight God is about to remind some of us that you're not waiting on another season of winning. You're already in a season of winning. You don't need... Oh, somebody help me preach right now. You don't need another thing to happen. It's already taken place. So if you want to stand with me all over this building, open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 24, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4, and then it's rehearsed again in verses 15 and 16. But I want to share with you tonight about what God has dropped in my spirit. This may be a little bit of a different sermon, but this is one that I worked on. God put this in my heart, and I plan to talk to you about it. Pastor Sargent, it is so good to see you and Miss Judy. Harv, so good to see you. Pastor at Summerton, friends of mine, good to have you in the Lord's house with us tonight. We look in Numbers, the 24th chapter, and again, it's verses 3 and 4, and then the same thing in verses 15 and 16. It says, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are open. Somebody say, my eyes are open. The utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High. Somebody say, I know about God. Who sees the vision of the... Friend, I'm telling you right now, I'm glad that my eyes are open and I'm glad that I hear the word of God, but I'm declaring over my life right now, I am going to see the vision of the Almighty. I'm not going to let the media write my vision for me. I'm not going to let the government write my vision for me. I'm not going to let my health write my vision for me. I am going to have the vision of the Almighty. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you, I'm used to people shouting and clapping, and I hope we have a good time in this house tonight. Amen? He said, I see the vision of the Almighty who falls down with eyes wide open. Friends, I want to talk to you tonight about having eyes wide open. And I want to tell you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your circumstance does not have the final say over your life. I want to speak over you right now and tell you there's a mighty God, and he has a mighty word and a mighty path and a mighty vision for you. And before we leave this house tonight, we are going to have our foot firmly again on the neck of the devil, and we're going to be shouting, thus says the word of the Lord. And somebody who agreed said amen. I like to pray biblically. The Bible says in the New Testament, I would the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Would you pray biblically with me tonight? Would you lift up holy hands all over this house? Can I get some people to open up your mouth and begin to pray right now? Would you do that? Heavenly Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the remaining portion of this service. Lord, I declare that you are Lord, you are God, you are high, you are lifted up, and your glory is in this house. Lord, I don't know what every person in this room needs, but I know you have more than enough. I speak a blessing in this house, Lord. I speak an increase in this house, Lord. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that somebody gets exactly what they need before they leave this place. Lord, enlighten and encourage by the preached word and the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' magnificent name. And the people of God that agreed said out loud. Before you're seated, could you empty those hands? Some of you holding Bibles, could you get those hands empty for a minute? And could you give the Lord the rowdiest praise ovation that he has gotten from Jasper, Alabama in the past 8? Can somebody bless the Lord with me? Magnify the Lord. Exalt his name. Oh, I believe you can do even better than that. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah! Oh, somebody. Lord have mercy. I feel a shout in the camp. Oh, we got a minute. Go ahead, somebody. Hallelujah! There's a stirring in this house right now. Keep this heart set and let me share some stuff with you. And we're going to open up this altar in a minute because God's doing something in this place. God bless you. Be seated if you can. We go to Numbers and we look at what God is doing in the children of Israel. Somebody understanding that the New Testament church is New Testament Israel. We understand that if we are in Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and we are heirs according to the promise. So when I'm preaching about Israel, it has everything to do with us because we are, by the blood of the Lamb, New Testament Israel. And what we have is Balaam. Balaam has been contracted by Balak, who is the king of the Moabites. You see, the Moabites, and Balak in particular, are scared out of their wits because God is with Israel. And God is fighting on behalf of Israel. And we've got Sion, who is king of Heshbon, and Og, who is king of Bashan. They are two great kingdoms. As a matter of fact, they were ancient superpowers. And they tried to come out and withstand the people of God who were on pilgrimage. And you know what they found out? They found out that you cannot stop the will of God. And so Sion comes out and they destroy him. Og comes out and they destroy him. And here's young Balak. He says, I'm not as strong as either one of them. And they've both been destroyed. I don't know what to do. So he comes up with an idea. I'm going to hire Balaam, who is a warlock. He's not a prophet of God. I understand he's called a prophet here, but hear me, he's not a prophet of God. He's a warlock, for lack of a better term. And so Balak says, I'm going to contract him. I'm going to bring him over here, and he's going to pronounce a curse on the children of Israel. I don't want to give up my territory. I don't want to be defeated. So you come over here, and you declare evil over the children of God. You know what happened? When Balaam got over there, God opened up his eyes and God took control of his mouth, and the Lord would only let him speak that which was pleasing to the ears of the Lord. Somebody hear me now. Hell doesn't not only not have the final say, hell doesn't have any say about your... I hear people say the devil doesn't have the final say. You better hear me now. He doesn't have any say over your life. And so what do we have? We have attempt number one. Balaam puts on his best church attire. He sets himself and he sets up and he's going to curse the people of God. Numbers chapter 23 verses 8 and 9 if you're following along. And here's what he said. He said, how can I curse the one that God has not cursed? How can I denounce the one that God has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him. And from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone. Get this now. A people dwelling alone, not reckoning himself among the nations. You see, what Balaam could see from a mile away was not only that Israel was favored by God. He said, I see them from a long way off. I see them from the tops of the rocks. And here's what I see about them. They are a people who dwell alone. They're not like us, and we're not like them. And guess what? They know it. Can I say to somebody in this house, it is time for you to get a new reckoning about who you are and whose you are. Honey, I may be in the world, but I am not of the world. I may be marching, but I'm not marching to the beat of the... Does anybody hear what I'm preaching to you in this house? Balaam looked at them. He said, I see them, but they don't think they're like me. I see them, but they don't think they are like you. They realize that they belong to somebody else and they are headed to someplace else. They realize that there's a different set of rules. Can I say to somebody, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you have a brand new set of rules. And I would to God that we would not reckon ourselves among the fallen nations of this earth. I pray for us that Ephesians chapter 1 would take place. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we might know, number one, the hope of His calling. That we might know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and that we might know the exceeding greatness of His power toward the... What are you saying, preacher? I'm asking in this house, Lord, open up our eyes and let us see the hope of His calling. He didn't come to partially save me. He didn't come to mostly save me. He didn't come to possibly deliver me. He came to set me free in every... Is it okay if I tell you that if you are in Christ, you are not a sinner? I do not believe that mutated form of Calvinism that says I'm a sinner and that's all I'll ever be. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away and all things have become new, and all things are of God who has reconciled. Hear me. The New Testament epistles were not written to the sinners at Antioch or the sinner. It was written to the saints, the body of Christ, who were washed and born again. I came to declare to somebody in this house, I came to declare to somebody watching us via live stream, honey, it is time for the Lord to open up our eyes and let us see wonderful things from His law. Lord, show us that we are strangers in the earth. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are not subject to the laws of physics. We are subject to the laws of a miraculous God. Somebody give Him praise in this house. Somebody give Him better praise than that. Don't reckon yourself to be anything other than what Jesus died for you to become. Don't reckon yourself to possess anything less than what Jesus shed His blood that you might have. You are a child of... Ooh, Helen. Can I get you to raise your hand and receive what I'm about to throw your way? Hear me now. You're a child of the Most High God. You have royal blood coursing through every one of your veins. I declare that every cell is sanctified, every atom is anointed, and I speak over you that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are the head and not the tail. You're above only and... Is that all right? So here's where I am. I've come to tell somebody that you are set up for the best of heaven. You are destined for the glory of God. And I speak over you now that God will open your eyes and let you see just how powerful He is in your behalf. So attempt number one didn't go very well. Balak said, I paid you good money. I set you up here to curse them. And instead of cursing them, you said it's impossible. They don't even live by the same rules we live by. Let's try this again. So he sets him up. Curse attempt number two, Numbers 23, verses 19 and 20. What does he say? He begins not just to talk about Israel. He begins to talk about Israel's God. He said, listen, you're not just trying to get me to mess with people now. You're trying to get me to talk about their God. And let me tell you something about their God. God's not a man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, will He not do? Has He spoken, will He not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. May I declare to somebody in this house, I'm excited to tell you about who you are, but the only reason I can tell you about who you are is because I have learned who He is. Titus 1 and 2 said that He is God who cannot lie, and He promised before time began. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, Your word is what? Settled in heaven. They're not in heaven checking X to see what their next move is. They're not waking up tomorrow to decide what they're going to do with you and me. Our God has a finished work that is spoken over our lives, and when the enemy Christ would try to change what we think about us, we need to be reminded of who our God is. Isaiah 14 and 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, it'll come to pass, and as I have purposed, it shall stand. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means. Can I just say to somebody in this building, it's not just who you think you are, it's whose you know you are, and that our God So in verse 20, 19 and 20, he speaks about God. But I want you to hear what he says in Numbers 23 and verse 23. The first part of 23:23 reads like this. For there is no sorcery against Jacob. I'm liking this right now. You got to get with me on this. He says, God's not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken, will he not do? Has he promised, will he not make it good? I received a word to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I cannot curse that which God has blessed. And the church said out loud, amen. But then he goes down three verses later and he says these words, there is no sorcery. You can pay me whatever you want to pay me. You can stand me wherever you want to stand me. But there is no sorcery that works against Jacob, and there is no divination that works against Israel. May I tell everybody in this house who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is no evil that has authority over your life. Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. I have come to remind everybody in this house, not only are we blessed and there's no way to reverse it. Not only is our God true and there's no way that he can lie. There is not a demon in or out of hell. There is not a scheme in or out of hell. There is not a tool. There is not a sickness. There is not a thing that has any authority to cross the bloodline. Our God has washed you. He has cleansed you. And he has said, this is my book. Honey, he's laid a claim on you. I told him at church Sunday, he's laid a claim on me. And even when I don't feel strong enough or faithful enough to keep my claim laid on him, he will not give up the claim that he staked on me. Somebody shout yes. Yes. So there is no divination. And there is no sorcery that will work. There is no weapon that will work against the people of God. In the house, shout it one more time. Amen. Amen. But here's what he said. The second part of Numbers 23:23. Here's what he said. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. See, here's what happens in our lives. We're bebopping and we're going through life, and we absorb things as we go. Our Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Somebody help me preach. Don't get so quiet now. We're going somewhere. You see, what happens is we start rolling through life and hardship starts piling up. And somebody said, Pastor, I don't even know when I'm going to have another winning season again. I want to believe. I want to trust God. I know it's of God and not of me. I know that God is faithful and he cannot lie. But lately, I've just been struggling to believe. I've been in service and I've been shouting, but in the back of my mind, that last defeat that I have recessed way back in the back annals of my mind, I try to keep it buried. I don't even want you preaching this way right now, Brother Doug. I don't want to hear you preach this way. I got my good church face on. I'm doing everything I can to look like I've got it all together. Can I say to somebody in this building right now that it must be said of you and it must be said of me, oh, what God has done. My friend, salvation is not, it is for me, it is to me, and it will get through me. But you better hear me, it is not from me. It is a gift of Almighty God, and it must be received as such. It must be said of the living light, Church of God, oh, what God has done. I don't have time. If we were at City Church, we'd be doing a little talk back session right now. I don't know what your name is. Say your name out loud. Say your name right now out loud. Yeah, that wasn't that great? Now here's what I want you to do. It must be said and say your name. It must be said and say your name, Andrew. It must be said, oh, look what God has done. It must be said of Pastor Tyler, oh, what God has done. It must be said of Andrew, oh, what. Say it. It must be said of me, oh, what God has done. What has God done? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave it. Honey, if you can't shout with me right there, you need to get a brand new gear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What has God done? He has blessed us, according to Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, and through him chose us from the foundation of the world that we should walk holy and blameless before him in love. What has God done? Here's what he's done. He's redeemed us to God by the blood of the Lamb, of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people, and he has made us a kingdom, a priest. May I say to you right now, honey, if you're born again, you're not just saved, you're sanctified. You're set apart for every blessing of God. So I titled this Eyes Wide Open because I thought my original title was a little smug. Don't be dumber than a warlock. Will you love me if I just preach truth? I'm only going to be here a few more minutes anyhow. God have mercy on me. That days when I struggle and days when my flesh want to cry out, there are times that I don't even have the vision that God gave this false prophet and this warlock. And I began to look in the mirror, or I began to look to my circumstance, or I began to look to my resources, or I began to look to my ability, or I began to look to my perfection. Friend, you better hear me right now. You have never been your source. You have never been your supply. You have never been your savior. And when I look at what God speaks to this false prophet who falls down with his eyes wide open, I hear somebody who needs to say, Lord, I know where I was when you found me. I know who I was when you found me. I know, and I know what's happened. God, I am a product of your grace. And if you didn't lose me yet, you'll never. If he's not dropped you yet, he'll never drop. Somebody shout yes. I see them over there, but they don't think they're like me. And I don't even think I'm like them. They don't answer to the God I answer to. They don't live by the rules I live. Can I just say to somebody right now, you have more going for you than hell will ever have cropped up against you. You have the very God of heaven and earth, and it is our God who has spoken over our lives a word of blessing and a word of love and hope and protection. Here's what the Bible says. I'm moving to a close in like 25 minutes. Wasn't that good? I didn't lie to you, right? I'm getting ready to close. No, he's not. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. There's an incredible word, and I want you to get this in your spirit. It's what God did for Israel. It's what God does for us. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland. A howling wilderness. Was anybody lost when he found you? Was anybody lost? Was anybody undone in your sin? He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. What did he do? He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Friends, if God loved me enough to save me when he found me as lost as I was, he loves me too much to leave me stranded. He did not bring me this far to leave me and bring me to shame. But he said through Joel, my people will never be put to shame. Give him praise in this house. So that's all that God has done. So 2 points, I'm closing. What he has done makes us who we are. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And somebody shout, yes. He did not fling us into the earth haphazardly, hoping that we might make it. We were ordained. What he has done makes us who we are. Who are we? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. See, I'm here to preach to somebody. We live in the state of Alabama, and we live around people that live foul lives. We work with them. Our kids go to school with them. Some of them are our neighbors, our family, and they live a sinful life, and they claim over themselves, I'm just a sinner, and I can't do any better. I want to declare to you one more time, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. You cannot be a sinner and saved at the same time. It's like being married and single at the same time. Honey, if you are born again, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not bound. I'm not addicted. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then what did he say next? Whoever the Son sets free is how? Free indeed. Who am I to tell him what the blood of Jesus accomplishes? I didn't get a lot of help right there. Who am I to tell God the limits that my sin posed to his power? Who am I to tell God the limits my sickness posed to his power? Who am I to tell God the limits my depression pose to his peace? I declare over this house right now, if you are a child of the Most High God, you are heir of every promise, and the Lord is looking down on you right now, and he doesn't have curse reserved for you. He has blessing reserved for you. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I declare the abundant peace of a merciful God in this house. Somebody said amen. Amen. So as we're moving seriously to a close, because of what he did, it dictates who we are. Song of Solomon said this about us: we're as fair as the moon, we're as clear as the sun, and we're as terrible as an army with banners. Why is an army with banners terrible? Is it because we hate glitter? Some of us do, but that's not the reason. Don't you give me no glitter. It just came out. It was free. You ain't got to pay for that. What's the big deal about an army with banners? An army with banners expects to beat you. They're not hiding. They're not in ambush. They're not hiding in the dark somewhere saying, oh, I hope our God helps us. They're not wishing that it would all work out. No, no, no. They said, hey, we know whose we are, and we know what he's done, and we know that what he's done makes us who we are, and we're as fair as the moon, and we're as clear as the sun, and we're as awesome as an army. I'm not asking the devil if it's okay for me to praise God. I'm giving him praise. I'm not asking the devil if it's okay for me to come to church, okay to go witness, okay to pay tithes, okay to pray for the sick. I've come to tell somebody that he is as awesome in you as you will let him be. Fair as a moon, clear as a sun, awesome as an army that says, here we are, and you can't do anything about it. Is that all right? Fair as a moon, clear as a sun. When you wake up tomorrow morning, don't you be sheepish about what we're shouting in here tonight. You stand up and declare over yourself, I'm healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak over your family. They are saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I have anybody in here that has an unsaved family member? You claim them right now. Raise up your hand and claim them right now. Honey, you're as terrible as if they wanted to die lost, they should have had different parents. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have got somebody, get your shout on and begin to declare, God has already piano. I don't know where you are. Just, yeah, act like we're going to quit soon. You good with that? You got an earplug in. Who are you talking to? Oh, I'm sorry. Glory to God, you're talking to somebody very good looking then. Amen. Went ahead and called that thing as that was not as though it was. You should laugh. We should be happy. I've been preaching my guts out for 40 minutes now about this reality. What he did made you what you are. What he did made you what you are. So here's Balaam, and he's trying to curse the people of God every way he can. He said, listen, I can't say anything bad about them. I can't say anything bad about their God. All I can do is say, I wish I could die the death they're going to die. That's what he prayed. He said, oh, let me die the death of the righteous. You know why he said that? Because anybody that's that cared for in this life that is only a vapor, my goodness, what must the afterlife look like? Can I say to somebody in this house that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus who loved you? May I tell you that you are as fair as a moon, as clear as... Stand up all over this building and somebody give him another one of those rowdy praises in this house. Somebody give him another rowdy praise in this house. Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and bless him. Somebody's daughter is coming home. Somebody's son is coming home. Here's where we are, church. Here's where we are, church. Based on what he's done and what he said, it dictates who I am. Say it out loud. I'm a child of the Most High God. Say it. I'm a child of the Most High God. Every promise in that word belongs to you and me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, under the glory of God by us. Can I just make modern what Balaam would say staring at some of y'all tonight? He'd say, I see them over there, and all their bills are paid. I see them over there, and all their prayers are answered. I see them over there, and their body's about to receive a healing. I see them over there, and they speak with tongues unknown to normal men. I see them over there. And there's something about them I wish I could get my hands on. Well, guess what, honey? It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours.